When there's a fire or medical emergency, most run the other way. For hundreds of volunteers in our community, it's the exact opposite. This year, Portage Health Foundation is celebrating those volunteers with $50,000 in funding. All volunteer emergency services units in Baraga, Houghton, Keweenaw, or Onondaga County are eligible for this funding with up to $5,000 available per grantee. This grant can be used to fund new turnout gear, make upgrades to vehicles or buildings, and much more. We can't wait to see how this funding will be used to make our community a safer place. Learn more at phfgive.org.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Learn more about them and what they do by visiting their website at phfgive.org. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and thought it would be an appropriate time to check in with folks from Dial Help, who provide services to victims of sexual assault here in the area and education about the topic as well. So we welcome in Paige Setter-Hallwalks, who is the Sexual Assault Services Coordinator at Dial Help. Paige, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Virginia Lambert, who is the Director of Victim Services, joins us as well. Virginia, welcome to you.
Thanks for having us, Todd.
Well, it's good to have you here. As we were talking in the preamble to this, I hate the fact that we have to keep doing interviews on this topic. One wishes it would go away, but it doesn't go away. Does it get any better? Have we seen any improvement over the past years as we have tried to get word out about the problems involved with sexual assault? Are you seeing anything improving at all, Paige?
You know, I was having this conversation with some Michigan Tech students. I work with the SAVE group sometimes at Michigan Tech. And, you know, it is still a problem that we're seeing, of course, but for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, at least, I've seen it really grow over the last 4 years. This is my fourth one with Dial Help, and it started with just social media, but now we have a puppy parade. We're painting the town teal, and, you know, we're on the radio, and we're going to do a podcast tomorrow as well. So the awareness is growing, so we're really hoping that getting this awareness out is going to kind of end the stigma.
Is, Virginia, the awareness level rising? Is that leading to more victims of sexual assault being willing to talk about what has happened and get some help in dealing with what has happened?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that we're doing during this awareness campaign is bringing survivors to a place where they understand that we believe you. We have some great collaborations with our local law enforcement agencies, and they were part of the We Believe campaign, just so people know that if you come forward, we're immediately on your side. We believe you. We're going to work with you. We're going to get you the resources that you need. So I think the way that's the number one change that I've seen over the years that I've been doing this is the way that people are working with the survivors of sexual assault. You're no longer feeling like you did something wrong. We're putting the blame on the person that did the wrong thing.
The Me Too movement happened a few years ago. Did that push this along, and has there been some long-term momentum from it?
I would think so. And, you know, I started working at Dial Help a little after the Me Too movement, so I guess I wouldn't have a great comparison of before versus after. It is something that we're able to talk about more. So, you know, when I go do outreach in the community, it's, oh, okay, you're here for this now. Oh, I've never heard about this topic before.
Okay, because it stunned me when that came out. I have friends on social media, people I've known for many, many years. And as this came out and the hashtag was going, I started seeing friends of mine, people I knew in high school years and years ago, saying, yeah, this happened to me. This happened to me. One of my friends, matter of fact, a young lady that I had in my junior high school Sunday school class many, many years ago, went into detail about how a supervisor had assaulted her in an elevator at the place where she worked. I was horrified. I've talked about this topic on the air for years. I just had no idea how widespread it was and how many people that I know, and I'm sure that this applies to everybody, how many people that we all know have been through this, and we don't have any idea that they have been through this. So let's talk a little bit about what happens if a woman is assaulted. The assault takes place. What should the woman do?
I would like to add,
I think we're going the same direction. We want to stop it right there because sexual assault happens to everyone.
It does happen both all ways. Ages. You're right. And yep. I'm making the mistake of making the assumption here.
Right. You're the assumption too.
And thank you for setting it straight. What should the victim, whatever their gender, what should they do right away?
You know, it's hard to say because what is going to help with long-term healing is different for everyone. For some people, they're going to need a little time to process. If you're talking about for like a criminal kind of sense, it would be going to the police and getting a medical exam. Even if you don't want to talk to the police, it's still a really good idea to go up to the hospital and get a forensic exam done. You don't need to make this forensic exam because it's held at the hospital for up to a year for you. And the main point of this
exam... Half ahead with a prosecution and interviews and all of that kind of thing, because I know that can be just hugely traumatic.
It can, and just because you go to the hospital, so the hospital is a mandated reporter and they have to report the crime to the police, but the victim or the survivor does not have to talk to the police at any time. They can ask the police to leave the room. And, you know, we do a lot of work with our law enforcement up here, so that's something that they're well aware of. Another thing for sexual assault is you can talk to the police, too, before you want to decide if you want to press charges. A lot of people think that just because they don't want to press charges, they can't talk to the police, and for sexual assault, that's not true.
Is that the way to get into the system, though? Virginia, you work with Victim Services. Mm-hmm. You come into this timeline at some point when somebody has made that call and has officially basically come out as a victim. Is that the easiest way to get into the system to get help?
Well, there's multiple ways to go about it. The number one thing I want you to know is you don't have to do this alone. So at any point, you can ask for an advocate. If you don't feel comfortable going to the police station on your own, you can call Dial Help, and an advocate is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we can meet you at the police station so that you have somebody with you to go and make the report. We can meet you at the hospital because you do not have to go through that exam by yourself. There's trained, say, nurses that usually do the exams, and an advocate is always able to be in the room with you. So you, and it's your choice if you want them in there or not, but at no point do you have to do any of this alone. And then if you do decide to go forward with prosecution, we can go with you to the courthouse. We can be with you every step of the way. So the victim no longer has to be a victim by themselves. They're a survivor with a support system.
Now, some sexual assaults are very plain to identify. Some sexual assaults perhaps are a little bit more subtle. Date rape, that kind of thing. A situation where one party thinks one thing, one party thinks the other thing. At what point do you, as people who work with sexual assault victims, at what point do you say, hey, you've got a real legal case maybe you should go ahead with here? And at one point do you say, well, it's a little ambiguous?
You know, that's really not for us to decide. We help people with their options. And just to make a comment, you know, we try and refrain from using date rape because it kind of makes it sound like it's a less violent towards a or
yeah,
kind of rape.
I know. It's not a perfect term.
It
frankly was what came to mind at the time.
But
there are those circumstances, I think, where one party reads it one way, one party reads it the other way, and either because of poor communication or because one party perhaps is just deciding to ignore the communication. Mm-hmm. It's a situation. It's not like somebody got grabbed in an alley and brought into a vacant building.
Right.
That perhaps, I suppose, is the kind of situation that might even bring more guilt than the violent attack. I mean, the violent sudden attack, you know it's not your fault. The situation in which a social element might have been involved, that's the situation where a victim might be looking back and saying, gosh, maybe I should have done some things different.
And, you know, no matter what somebody's actions were, it wasn't their fault what happened to them. And, you know, I do get where you're going with this. One thing that we really like to talk about in our education, our community education, is consent and talking about it. You know, I've been with my husband for 10 years, and we still ask for consent, and we still talk about it. It's more fun than it sounds, I promise. but, no, so that's one of the biggest things in our community outreach is talking about consent, talking about how it's freely given, it's reversible, and it's ongoing. You know, you could be having fun with somebody for about 10 minutes and then figure out like, oh, you know, I really don't want to be doing this. And you can back out at any time.
I'm not comfortable with this. Yeah. And basically, the bottom line is, at any point in the encounter, no means no, and that ends it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that's what we have to all remember. But there are situations in which, you know, it becomes a little ambiguous. And there are situations in which, unfortunately, mind-altering substances play a role. If you've had a little too much to drink, you know, and on both sides of it. Is this something that you talk about when you're doing this education, that there's a little prevention that needs to come into play here? And again, not blaming a victim under that circumstance, but if I'm walking out into the crosswalk where everybody is legally required to stop and let me cross the street, and the garbage truck is coming at 40 miles an hour, and I see it and I think, no, it's going to stop, and I'm going to be fine, and it hits me. I may have been right, but I'm still dead. There are circumstances which might lead themselves to misunderstanding, to that kind of sexual assault, if you've had too much to drink, if you've been taking some kind of drugs. Is this something that we all need to try to avoid?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to push not drinking. Just because somebody's drinking doesn't mean that that gives anyone the right to touch their body or do anything to them.
No, and I'm not maintaining that at all.
No, of course. What we really need to focus on is the perpetrator's actions. It was them who decided at that moment that that's what they wanted to do, and they kind of preyed upon a person at a vulnerable moment.
Well, and from the perpetrator's standpoint, and though we recognize that this goes both ways, in most cases I think we see that the male is the perpetrator and the female is the victim. If I go to a party as a male and I have too much to drink, I might wind up making decisions that, first of all, could change a woman's life for the rest of her life, but could also change mine in a very dramatic way. It's incumbent on me to maintain control of my actions and my emotions and not get too carried away as well, is it not?
It is. It's, you know, when you're drinking and you're, or just in every aspect of your life, your actions are your own and you need to take accountability for them.
Talking with Paige Setter-Hallwachs and Virginia Lambert from Dial Help. This is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and it is a topic that, even after all these years, I have a little trouble talking about, because, first of all, I find it horrible. And secondly, it deals with some areas that are a little bit taboo sometimes in our society. So, Virginia, you take people through this system as the Director of Victim Services. You help them out in the court cases. Mm-hmm. Suppose this does go to court. How do you assist a victim if they have to go up and testify, if they have to go through multiple interviews? How do you help out and support at that level?
So we're able to provide transportation to the court hearings and that type of thing. We go in and we sit through, we can be there with the prosecuting attorney and work with her or him, whomever we have at the time, and kind of mediate and help out, relay information, because sometimes our survivors really don't want to be involved in the whole process. They just want part of it. So if they don't want to sit through one part of the hearing, we can go in their place and let them know what happened without them having to see their perpetrator. Or we're in the courtroom with them as they're experiencing this, and we're able to debrief with them, make sure that they have resources, get counseling, whatever they need. So we experience the whole array. We go right from the beginning to the end with some folks, and some folks don't need us for everything, and they get to pick and choose when they want us and what they want us for.
Resources and counseling, Paige. Mm-hmm. How do you set that up after a traumatic attack like that? Because I'm sure that some victims react differently than others. Some are perhaps able to shrug it off and move on. Some are affected long-term because of this. What kind of options are available for somebody who has been attacked in this fashion? And are those services available to somebody who perhaps went through this many years ago and still hasn't quite come to grips with it?
Yeah, you know, our services are available if you were victimized yesterday or if you were victimized 50 years ago. We are always here to help and connect you with resources. So all of us in, it's a tiny community, you know, and we don't have all the resources we really need up here, but we keep a pretty good going list of counselors at universities to try and get, you know, an incomplete or maybe some extra time on homework.
So, but let's take somebody who maybe was assaulted perhaps as a child, maybe 20, 30 years ago, and now is having trouble in relationships because of this trauma that they went through, either as a young girl or a young boy. Is there a way that they can get into the system even though that act happened many, many years ago?
They can, and you know, thank you so much for bringing that up, because when we were talking about the initial process, what I think both of us kind of forgot to mention is that you don't have to go through that process at all. You can call our crisis line and get connected with a victim advocate, and we can still talk to you. You don't have to report. We've had people who have reported after 20 years to the police, but it's not just you don't have to report to the police at any point if you don't want to. So, you know, somebody from 20 years ago, they might not want to report to the police, but there's still, all of our services are available. We can help them find counseling in the area. We can help them with their struggles. Sorry, it's hard. There's so many ways that we help people, so it's hard to bring up examples for me sometimes.
No, I understand that. It is as something... there's just such a big timeline on this, all of the very different things that can happen. You have juvenile sexual assault, you have forced sexual assault, you have coerced situations, you have all sorts of different things. You have assault that even takes place within marriage from time to time. And that you deal with a lot of different landscapes, I would assume, Virginia.
Yes. One thing that we generally do have a counselor on staff for victims of crime. Right now, we're currently in the process of hiring a new counselor. Ours had moved on, but we do have a counselor generally on staff for these victims of crime. So even if you were assaulted as a child and you want to work through that now, right now, sure, we're going to help you find somebody in the community, but generally we have someone on staff that can work with you as well.
So even if this is something a long time ago, please don't be afraid to make the call. And before we get into some details about the puppy parade, if there is somebody who's going through this, how do they get in touch with Dial Help?
So they can give our crisis line a call. We are also available through text 24 hours a day, or you can go to our website and you can do online chatting. I really like to mention this about the online chatting and the texting is that, I mean, all of our services are completely confidential, but it's a little less noticeable when you're texting or say on your computer, say you're at work or school. It's very inconspicuous. So it's a great way to reach out if maybe you're a little nervous too.
Do you get, what kind of reports do you get in terms of campus? Does this happen on the Michigan Tech campus?
It happens everywhere in our community.
Yeah. I'm not focusing a spotlight there.
Oh, yeah.
But I recall when you instituted the text and the email and the chat options a few years ago, the thought at that point, as I recall, was that this was a way to reach out to younger people who tend to do texting instead of phone calls and such. Has it worked out that way?
I would say yes. I also, within the last couple of years, have gotten a work cell phone, and it's actually really, really helped with my clients who maybe don't want to call me, but they just want to send me a quick text message to schedule something, too.
Okay. Now, let's talk about an event that you have coming up, which is designed to raise awareness, and it involves puppies. I love puppies.
Don't we all?
If only they didn't grow up.
I got two right now.
But your puppy parade is coming up on Wednesday the 27th. Tell me about the puppy parade.
We are so excited for the puppy parade. Last year was our first year, and you know, as we've kind of talked, it's a hard topic to talk about, sexual assault. And finding easier ways to do it or ways that have built-in support is really important. So we're all dog lovers in our department and cat lovers, just animal lovers.
And even if you're not a dog lover, you can't help but love a puppy. Come on, it's a puppy.
I have two at home, so I need them to grow up. But anyways, Yeah, so this event kind of came about from...
Okay, we love someone else's puppy.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah, as long as you get to take it home and clean up the puddles, we love your puppy. So I'm sorry, I broke in.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
But this was a great way that we found to have, like, built-in emotional support. It's also really cool because it's around the same time that the universities are getting out. So last year what we had a lot of was... students and faculty coming who just needed a break. And this year, we heard you from last year, there's going to be a spot for everyone to just watch the puppies come on in if you would like.
All right. So tell me what goes on at the puppy parade. What do the puppies do?
So the walk is going to start at Kestner Park around 5:30. And we're going to have an entire course laid out from the downtown by the water. And it's going to pop up and go through downtown Houghton, fingers crossed, as long as all the snow melts for me.
Yeah, hopefully by the 27th of April, we'll be at least a little bit out on that. Now, you can go to the event on April 27th, but you're also going to set the course up a little bit early?
Yeah, we're going to be setting it up on April 20th. So I have a rescue that is not great in public, but loves to go on walks. So this is for all those doggies out there who maybe can't be in a crowd. So we just want to make sure that everybody can get to go for the walk.
And that's a note here that I have here is that to keep everybody safe, if you have a dog that doesn't play well with others, you might not want to bring your dog to the event where there are a lot of others and a lot of other dogs.
And we're going to have color-coded tags that we'll be providing for everyone. So just from looking at somebody, you're going to be able to tell, like, is this the dog that I can approach or is this the dog that I can't approach? Because, you know, there's some dogs, like my dog is personally really great with people, but it's sometimes questionable with other dogs. So I believe the color tag we'd be putting on him would be orange for loves people, not so much dogs.
Okay. So he's going to be branded with this whole thing. But it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense because obviously you want to keep everything and everyone safe for this. Now, you'd want people to sign up in advance?
So if you sign up in advance, you can get a free t-shirt and matching bandana while supplies last.
Okay. How do they do that?
So if you go to dialhelp.org/events or just to our main website and get to our events page, you're going to find a link to our run sign-up page. It's also posted on our Facebook, and I believe that there's a link on our Instagram, but I would check the Facebook and our website first.
All right, and we also have it posted on our QNRReport.com community calendar, and we have a link to the registration site and a link to your website with it as well. So if folks are having trouble finding it, just go to our calendar, look on April 27th, which is the date. It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday evening, yes.
At Kestner Waterfront Park, and certainly going to be a lot of fun. And if you're a dog lover especially, you will enjoy it. After you did this last year, did this bring some people into you who said, hey, I have gone through this?
It does. You know, people, they really want to come support these events, and we do get disclosures at events like this. And we're here, so we're going to have victim advocates at the event. So if, you know, coming to this event does trigger any emotions or you need somebody to talk to, there is going to be someone there for you to talk to.
All right. So it's something where there at least can be some instant help put on, and then obviously information provided as to how to get more long-term help. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing any improvement in the long-term lives of people who have been assaulted because of all that we have done in the last few years? I mean, when I was very young, there was very little assistance offered to sexual assault victims, and I suspect that it was something that those victims carried for much of their lives, and it affected much of their lives. Are we seeing people, quote-unquote, recover better from this now, do you think?
I do. I definitely do. I think feeling supported and being able to work through what happened to you, acknowledging that it was not your fault, these are really important things for a person's healing. Everyone's going to heal and recover at different rates, but not bringing that into maybe your next relationship or not passing on the fears that you have to your children, it just makes everything a lot better for your life and others.
What about those of us around a sexual assault victim? How do we support them?
Just letting them know that you believe them and you're there for them and letting them choose what kind of support they need. So, you know, I work with families So all of our services that are available for what our grant calls the primary victims, so the person that the victimization happened to, we also extend to secondary. So that would be family, friends. So all of our services are available for the families and friends as well. But one thing that I've heard talked about is, you know, I really think that so-and-so should be doing it this way instead of this way. And, you know, unfortunately, it is really frustrating to see when you think something should be done differently, but making sure that person knows that you support their choices and trying really hard not to push your own choices on them.
All right. If you are a victim of sexual assault, Dial Help is always available. Just go to their website. You can find out how to reach them. And Paige Setter-Holwax and Virginia Lambert, thank you both for coming in and talking today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, and thank you so much, Portage Health Foundation, and the City of Houghton for donating the park for the Puppy Parade. We are so grateful.
Absolutely.